This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott, and our show today is about seeking refuge. Meeting the formal definition of refugee is very difficult. It typically requires a lengthy process. There's a legal document, it's called the 1951 Refugee Convention, that countries around the world have accepted, and it defines who is a refugee, and it also outlines refugee rights. We're talking about people who were persecuted for their race, their religion, which social group they belonged to, and so on. More than 85,000 people came to the U.S. last year as refugees, and about a third of them are children. They're usually accompanied by their parents, and often one of the first things moms and dads want to take care of in this new world is checking on their kids' health. Reporter Alana Gordon caught up with a Syrian refugee family for their first health exam, and she gives us this glimpse.
For 4 years now, the pediatric wing at Einstein Health in North Philadelphia has blocked off Thursday mornings to meet with refugee families.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are
you? On this day, they're prepping to meet the Tawils. The family of five is all together in a spacious exam room. Four-year-old Anas scopes out me and my microphone. Then he stands up in his little green scrubs and puffs out his little chest. Linda Kaste, the Arabic interpreter for their visit, is also moved by this act of utter cuteness.
Wow, this is a song, a very long song that he learned probably in school.
The Tawils are from Syria, where the husband's family ran restaurants and some other businesses. That little singing one, Anas, was still developing in mom's belly when their neighborhood in the southern countryside was bombed.
I was not only worrying about my pregnancy, but about all the kids, all my neighbors, my family. All the pictures that you may have watched on TV are really real.
They fled their home in the middle of the night with Anas's big brother, 18-month-old Ghassan. They settled first in Damascus, where Anas was eventually born. They said it was safer there. But still, the war raged around them. A close family member had been arrested and imprisoned. Within a year, the family moved to Egypt, where they hoped it would be safer. There, they applied for help from a refugee organization.
And one day, the organization contacted us and asked whether we wanted to be resettled in another country, like the United States. And we said yes. So after a year and a half of interviews and meetings, we were able to get the papers as refugees.
Okay. Do you feel safer here now?
Dr. Raghava Kavala has heard stories like these before.
It's very touching to see these kids here. I'm glad you are safe.
She talks through an interpreter to the dad and mom, and then begins the children's exams, starting with the youngest, Nejwa. She's 10 months.
I can see that she rolled over just now. Is she able to sit when you hold her?
She reviews the kids' growth, diet, and other development markers. Then she reviews their dental health. It's something that's often neglected. Everything looks good so far. Here in this exam room, signs that their family may have been through more than anyone would want to imagine are subtle. The two young boys curiously look on, wide-eyed, during the visit. They're smiling and are even amenable to having their body prodded a little. But the mom, Enas, says the sight of blood, even when getting their own drawn, can be upsetting.
Now, when they see blood, they get scared.
The father, Osama, says war is a distant memory for his children, and he's doing his best to help them forget.
Now, the only thing they remember about their country is the name.
Dr. Kavala says kids respond to trauma differently at different ages. Staff keep an eye out for signs of nightmares, withdrawing from activities. For young ones, play therapy and distraction is really helpful. They say a key to addressing this and other health issues is developing a good rapport and relationship with families.
So you can hang out and say, like a crocodile.
Over the next 30 minutes or so, Dr. Kavala checks the kids' ears, throat, and reflexes. Next time, they'll do a vision and hearing test. Dad, Osama, says he's grateful.
Everything is very different. This is the best welcoming.
For the next 3 to 6 months, the Tawils are set up with a health coordinator who will help them get appointments. Staff here say that can be critical because families might not call out of fear that no one will understand them. Others might not realize that to get medicine at a pharmacy or to see a specialist, You first have to go through a primary care doctor. Things are different in the U.S. compared to other places. Except one thing.
No, we're going to walk them over to the vaccine room.
Okay, yeah.
Vaccines. This is routine for families like the Tawils. Before the war, Syria had a national immunization program. Staff give them information in Arabic about their kids' vaccine schedule. They'll need them to get their kids into school. But nothing is cool about it for Nejwa, Ghassan, or that previously happy 4-year-old vocalist, Anas. Staff at this refugee clinic say there's an increased level of stress and anxiety among patients here these days, given all the heightened national policies looking to restrict immigration and refugees. Many of the doctors here are immigrants themselves, including the clinic director, Dr. Mesa Abouali, who's from Saudi Arabia. But she says this work with refugee kids is immensely humbling and inspiring.
What's most striking about these refugee children is their incredible resilience. Because again, they come in fearful, and within a month, we see that they're speaking English fluently and they're excelling in school.
Time and again, she sees kids bouncing back to being kids, adapting to their new world. Within minutes of Anas bawling from that vaccine, he's sitting in the hallway, looking at his dad's phone. He's singing again, this time to a much more familiar American tune.
That was Alana Gordon reporting. Let's continue this conversation about seeking refuge and coming to this country online. You can reach us on Twitter. We are at WHYYThePulse, and we've been using the hashtag SeekingRefuge. Tell us your stories.